Okay, I want to get the ball rolling on the second half of this morning's session. I'm not too sure how many people are familiar with the technology we're going to see next here, the Sleipner. I saw this demonstration at Mine Expo, and I thought it was really interesting, and I talked to the folks in Finland that produced this equipment and asked them to come make a presentation here. So our next presentation is moving crawler-mounted equipment effectively, and the presenter is Randall Scott. Now, he's not from Finland, but he is president of Mining Solutions and specializes in heavy mining equipment and maintenance and finding solutions to some of the toughest problems in the mining business. And this presentation will show how the Sleipner system makes it possible to reduce the relocation time of excavators, and it saves on the wear and tear on undercarriages. So how about a welcome for Randall?
First of all, who's ever seen Sleipner? Boy, I'm out of a good crowd. Sleipner is one of the most innovative pieces of equipment I've ever came across in my history of working with hydraulic excavators. I was sent to Germany on a training class about 10-12 years ago, and the trainer presented me with a video, and I went back home and bought one for the equipment that we were using in Colombia at the time. Since then, I bought actually two of them for different companies that I work for. Sleipner cuts down on undercarriage wear, improves production, just makes life easier on hydraulic excavator operators all the way around. Sleipner was founded in 1997. The owner and the designer of Sleipner is a shovel operator. He had a lot of years of experience working in a mine in Finland, and he was their company just happened to walk excavators all the time, just walk the tracks off of excavators constantly. And he's sitting in the seat of the shovel, and he hates walking shovels, so he came up with an idea of how to make them more mobile. And he went to his company and presented his idea to them. They said, yeah, go for it. So he built the first Sleipner, put it to work at his mine site. He did that in 1997, and that very same unit is still working in Finland today. And that, I'm kind of ahead of myself on that, but that's where we come from. That's where we originated. A lot of these mines, we just got back from a mine that's used to cold weather. So this originated in Finland, where they are definitely used to cold weather. It's designed for cold weather applications, and every part of it is designed for cold weather operations. Today we're operating in about 20 countries around the world. We've got about close to 200 units and gaining running around the world today. I just got back from Indonesia, where a company's just bought 9 of them for the same company. They've got ranges from 300 tons down to 30 tons. ROI, what is your payback for Sleipner? Over the years, like I said, the first one's been running since 1997. So when I start to explain the benefits of what Sleipner is worth to you and your company, every company's, every mine site, every operations, even sometimes inside the operations are different. So you just have to make your own determination exactly what yours is worth. But we've got one running out there since 1997. So to pay its payback over years and years and years to come is just endless. The increase in production, just from walking time alone at a typical mine site, it's very easy to raise your production into the 3, 4, and 5% range very easily. All of you that operate hydraulic shovels know that they become very, very mobile with inside the mine site. They should be sitting still. They should be operating in one spot, but they're easy to walk from one point to the other, so people walk them from one spot to the other. I've seen shovels walk for 12 solid hours straight. The very first one I bought, that's the reason we bought it, because we were transporting, it was a coal loader, and it would walk from point A to point B, and sometimes it'd take 12 to 14 hours to walk it. Overheating of rollers, you have to stop, cool the rollers, and with Sleipner, it's a one-way trip. You just get on them and take off. There's no stopping in between. runs about 15 kilometers an hour on open, flat roads. Of course, you drive your conditions up ramps, it won't go 15 kilometers. It'll do 5 or 6, depending on what the ramp speed is, ramp angle is. Maintenance costs, it says right here 50% yearly savings. Depending on what your rate of walking time is, 50% is based on about a 7 or 8% total walking time. I've been to mine sites that have 13, 15, 18% walking time. So your payback is way more than that. We can at least, I'm very confident at any mine site that you put a Sleipner in to transport your excavators, that you can at least double your life on your undercarriage. One undercarriage, as a general rule, one undercarriage will pay for a Sleipner. So if you double your life, there's your automatic payback right there. Carbon footprint. Everybody's talking green this day and time. If you're transporting a shovel from point A to B, that shovel walks about, it walks about two miles an hour. But if you follow the strict rules and regulations of the owner's manual, you will walk 30 minutes, cool your rollers for 30 minutes. So therefore, it's 1 mile per hour. Really true walking time. We're moving shovels at 10 to 15 kilometers an hour. So that's at least 15 times faster than what it was is designed from the factory. When one is walking from point A to point B, the engine's almost under full load. Anybody that's ever watched their excavators walk, you can see the black smoke roll. This thing's using up a lot of fuel. When it's on top of a Sleipner, it's running at high idle, but it's not under full load because there are very few movements made while it's operating. You're pulled by a truck that's burning a lot of fuel, but a truck engine will only burn a fraction of what a shovel will burn. So this definitely reduces your carbon footprint for the total mine site. Benefits of increasing productivity. By improving mobility, the excavator's time travel time is reduced by 70%, at least. Depending on what mine sites, like I went back to a while ago, I've seen mine sites that operate in the 15 to 20% range. That 70%, you can probably decrease it by 90%. The very first excavator that I bought, I'll give you a case scenario for that one. We traveled for an 8-month period. We walked the machine so much that if we had have loaded coal during that walking time, we would have made $8 million more money because the coal was always available. You never had an opportunity where there was not coal available to load. So if we cut that walking time out, we could have saved made $8 million more dollars in an 8-month period. 5% increase in production. Depending on what you're mining, coal, gold, silver, whatever it is, every mine's based on ever how many buckets full that shovel can get. If he's walking from point A to point B to get back and forth from one pit to the other, he's not making any production. And neither's the trucks. Trucks can't do anything without a shovel. So that 5% is a very, very conservative number. I'll let you guys do the numbers. You know your mine sites. What would 5% increase production do for you? Y'all just do the numbers yourself. It's huge. Cost reduction in undercarriage. At least a double in the life of your undercarriage. So an undercarriage for a PC5500. Anybody run PC5500s out here? Got an idea about what your undercarriage cost? I can tell you, $1.9 million to replace everything, sprockets, idlers, rollers, plus several weeks of downtime. If I can double that life, you just paid for a Sleipner on one machine. What if you've got three or four and you divide that cost between all three or four of your machines? It's kind of a no-brainer that you need one. That's And I've went already through that one. Fuel consumption. When walking a shovel for long distances of time, you cover a mile or 2 miles or however how much distance it is. That shovel's running full load, almost full load, the whole trip. Doesn't matter if it's going up and down, uphill or down a hill. It's running almost full load the whole time. That's a tremendous amount of fuel it burns in a shovel. A shovel will burn a lot of fuel in an hour's time. You guys that run these things, you know more than I do about just exactly how much. While one's running at high idle, the fuel consumption is very little. You're behind a truck moving 10 kilometers an hour. You cover the same amount of space from point A to point B, but you're moving it at 15 kilometers an hour instead of 1 kilometer an hour. So therefore, you reduce your fuel cost tremendously over that period of time. Up to 80% while walking. And that's a debatable number. I can see people's wheels turning out here where you're already pulling it with a truck that's got as much horsepower as the shovel does. But a truck doesn't burn as much fuel, and it covers that area in a much quicker time. So even if the truck's engine was burning the same amount of fuel as the shovel would if it was walking, you'd still burn way less fuel because you cover it in such a quicker amount of time. Going back to the carbon footprint. Fuel, number one cost of a mine site normally, is your fuel. If you can reduce that in your shovel, not only do you reduce fuel, but going back to engine rebuilds, every hour, every gallon of fuel that's burned through an engine is related directly back to rebuild times. If you can reduce the amount of fuel going through the engine, you automatically reduce the amount of times that you have to rebuild the engine over the life of the machine. Reduce carbon footprint at about 4%. Now, this is a case study, and I didn't do it, so I'm going to kind of stumble through this thing. This is a gold mine. They had five 400-ton excavators. They had nine 300-ton excavators. What they did is they bought a excavator for each one of the, I mean, they bought a Sleipner for each one of their excavators. Production target for 2012 was 600,000 ounces. They spent $8 million, 8.7, on Sleipner. They put one with every machine. Increased production, 4.5%. That increase related to 27,000 ounces or $42 million based on $1,400 gold a day. Payback, 2.5 months for $8.7 million investment. Has anybody ever bought anything for their mine site that pays itself back in 2.5 months? I doubt it. Yearly savings is not even calculated into that payback. That is strictly a production number based on how much more gold they can produce because of the raise in production. You also save another $800,000 on fuel. You save $1.4 million on maintenance costs, directly related to the undercarriage wear. I think this is where we got a little short video. Now, is that not pretty impressive? When I saw this in Germany, it was a no-brainer that we wouldn't come back and buy one. And when you see these things work on these videos, it looks like it's awful simple, and it looks like it's staged and all of that stuff. But listen, I'm an operator trainer on these things. They are just as easy as they look like they are. And once the operators get used to them, it's even easier than that. We have people that's getting on and off of these things in 5 minutes. We've got mines in Africa that they're using them to every single move that they make. If they move 300 feet, they get on the Sleipners to do it. They pull the Sleipner up behind the machines and leave it sitting there all the time, and they're just on them and off in just a matter of minutes. Think of opportunities. Moving from point A to B for a mine face change. That's one opportunity. But opportunities that people miss. They look at, what about pulling out for shots? How far do you pull your shovels out for shots? We just left a gold mine that pulls theirs out 2,000 feet every time they blast. They blast every day. If you walk that shovel out for 2,000 feet, might as well say close to a half a mile, it's 30 minutes at best case scenario to walk that shovel out. It's 30 minutes to walk it back in. That's an hour per day, per shovel, wasted and lost. You never gain back lost production, ever. If you miss picking up a rock in the pit, you never get that opportunity again. You've always lost it. Because if you lost it, you had an opportunity to do it right the first time. You never can gain it back. Product range. We go from 30 tons up to 550 tons. Now, let's stretch the 550 up. The 550 will cover a RH340 or the new CAT 6090 or 6060, which is 365 tons. There's an example of the smallest versus, that's a 400 ton. That's an E400. We got a video of this. We got a video now of the E550. Anybody notice that was an electric machine as well? We can move electric hydraulic excavators just as well as we can diesel powered. Just have to manage the power cable just a little bit better. But that's our product range. The E550 is the newest and the greatest out yet, and it has just hit the market. That was a test done about a month and a half ago, I guess now. There's actually 7 of those going to Australia. We got 3 going to Africa already, and it just came out just about a month and a half ago. Over lifetime of the Sleipners, says 30% or 30 times payback. That's debatable. I'm thinking it's 100 times or more. 5% increase in production. You do the numbers on your mine site. There's a small calculator available for anybody that's got an iPad. It can be downloaded off iTunes. It's a free app. Feel free to load that app up on your iPads and put your numbers in. There's nobody tracing the numbers or anything, so just put your numbers in and see what your results is. Yearly savings on undercarriage. Let's cover just a little bit other than just undercarriage wear. Most mine sites PM their shovels. I've come from a maintenance background. That's practically all I've done. But most people do their PMs on their excavators in the pit. They just move them out a little ways, usually put another shovel or loader in close by. Dust is flying everywhere. Trucks coming by right and left, opening up their hydraulic systems in the middle of a dust storm. Now, anybody that's a hydraulic person here can tell you that is not a good idea. What if you could build yourself a PM bay for your excavators? Take the excavator out of the pit, carry it to a concrete pad, wash it off, have all your supplies right there. You're no longer running people in and out of the pit, running back and forth to get parts or whatever. You're no longer running cranes, lifts, trucks into the work area. You keep all of that back out of the maintenance in the maintenance area and transport your excavator in 15, 20 minutes up to the workshop, run it through the wash, do your PM, and then put it back to work. We just left a mine site that one time a month they walk their excavator all the way to the shop. It's 6 hours one way, 6 hours back. They do that one time per month just to do their major PMs. What if you could do all of that in a matter of 15 or 20 minutes, getting it back and forth to the shop? And tell me that wouldn't be a money savings. On top of that, better quality PMs, safer PMs for your people. You could build catwalks, you could build lifts, you could do everything at your PM bay to make life so much easier on your maintenance people. And on top of that, goes back to your carbon footprint. Everybody's going green, so big, huge savings in fuel. You saw the numbers. You could pay for a large Slackener just on fuel savings alone. Well, that's about all I've got as far as the presentation. I know it's quick. Open for questions and answers.
What about maintenance on these units?
The biggest maintenance issue with a Slackener is the lift cable. Because if you use it a lot, it's a wire rope cable, and it's lifted by the bucket, so you are always going to be damaging the cable from time to time. But the cable that we put on there is about a 20 times capability of lifting the Slackener, so we overkill with that big time. But that's your biggest maintenance item is your cable. The second biggest maintenance item is brake shoes for the parking brakes, and a brake shoe is about 250 euros.
Randall, what about grade? What's the steepest grade and what's the fastest speed you can go?
A lot of that depends on the truck and shovel match. We boast on our websites and everything about a 12 to 15% grade. But I was in Indonesia in May 2012. We did training on at a coal mine, and we actually climbed up an 18% grade with a 9350 Liebherr and a 1500 Komatsu truck. We did a two-truck pull, had a 785 Komatsu in front, but it went up the 18% grade. So to tell you what grade it'll go up, I don't know. 18 is plenty steep enough for me.
I have one thing here. I mean, looks very good, right? But the one thing that sort of disturbs me a little bit is the connection to the truck, right? I mean, all you do is you take that bucket from the loader and put it on the truck. So there is no real fixed connection. And I feel, you know, if you go on a grade up or downhill, this thing may move. And isn't that dangerous? I mean, I don't know, you know, I have no experience, but it seems to me that it could move and actually push that truck rather than, you know, having a safe operation there.
There's two or three answers to that same question. Going up a ramp and going down a ramp are two different operations, and you position your bucket differently for each operation. It's easy to do. It's just a matter of where you put your material. Going down a ramp, you put a little bit of material against the headboard of the truck to space it back to where it won't move. You're riding against that. Going up a ramp, it's exactly the opposite. You put the material behind the bucket and put your bucket closer to the headboard of the truck, and you've got more material behind to make that connection. Remember, your truck beds are like this. They're not flat. It's not just got a slide out. It's got to push against the bottom of the bed of the truck. And no, it won't damage the bottom of the truck. You're sitting on the two main structures in the bed, and you're also cushioned by some material on the back. Second, you're only carrying 30% of the weight of the excavator in the bed of the truck. So you're not going to damage you do more damage putting big rocks in the bed of the truck than you do hauling a Sleipner. The other part of that question is, going down a ramp, the excavator operator is always in the cab of the excavator while it's being transported. He has full control. He can move out to the one side. He can move to the other side. He can stretch himself out away from the truck. He can pull himself closer to the truck. He can also stop, and he can stop the truck. These things will stop a loaded, going down a 15% grade, a shovel will stop the truck and stall it out to where it won't move. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Randall.